no balloons for you. I know you're saddened by that. Well, if there's extras, you can have some. Wasn't that great worship this morning? Praise God. That was amazing.
That was great.
Wow. Woo. Goosebumps. We're into Lent, the moment preceding Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. And really, it's all about change. So we're into a series, You've Always Got Change, and today we're looking at the stability in our ever-changing life. We always live a changed life. Is that true, would you say? There's always something happening? There's always some kind of change? Now, Brandon went like this, so he has a video. What does that mean? You have a video for me? Okay, show this video. I've not seen this, so I...
Was a loser, now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Oh, no way. Oh, that is so good. You did this.
No, I did not.
Yeah,
I did not.
No.
No, I didn't realize that. Actually, I got these, and then
really funny. Oh man, you got a new camera. I need a picture of this. You did do this.
No.
Yeah, you look so innocent.
This is hilarious.
You have to take a picture of this.
Did you get a picture of me?
Yeah.
Not the mirror.
No. I got that on video.
Oh,
that
camera's good.
Did
you get it? Is that here? He's always in my website. Oh, you haven't seen this? No,
did you think
he did not run the door open.
Did you think it was bad?
No.
I didn't use the word ignorant. I thought that was pretty strong. This is like the best. This is. I really want to keep all this. I really want to do this.
I think there's like beach balls and stuff. And
this is
like,
fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, what?
And here I heard you were in the hospital.
Well, now I'm trapped.
You gotta leave it so everybody.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
All the people can see it.
Well, you can. You might be trapped now forever. You can't go to the job.
Yes.
You're
stuck here now.
Yeah.
You'll never ever escape from
your office. Ever. So you no longer have any staff. Where was I? I did not see that video. So that was Friday for me. You know, one day you can come into your office and it can be normal. The next day, change could occur. But change can occur every day. It does occur every day of our life. That happened to me on Friday morning. And my reaction to it... Well, I use pretty strong language. I use the word ignorant. But if we want to remain stable during change, We've got to have faith. And so we all need faith to walk us through the most difficult moments of change. That was a great moment on Friday, but it was unnerving as well on Friday. There was popping going on all the time. It was just amazing. You should have seen it when I had some counseling that day for the people trying to sit. It was just amazing. It was good. It was a bang-up time, that's right. Romans chapter 12, I invite you to turn there. It's a great passage of scripture. Can you all say the word change?
Change.
Right on. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, I'm just going to give you a little bit of prologue to where I want to go today. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We've done that. We've studied that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've talked about that. We've studied it. Look at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. God has given you faith. See, life changes, but God grants faith. See, the Bible says that unto people is given the measure of godly faith. You have been given faith to get you through the change and uncertainty of every day. When something comes upon you, like balloons in your office. Now you know why I'm giving away balloons, by the way. When something comes upon you, when you don't, you can't, it just shakes your world. That's when your faith comes in. Godly faith is always pure faith. It's a constant faith. It's every day of your life, faith. We want to approach life with faith. So when we get up in the morning, we should look to our faith. When we lay down at night, we should do so by faith. Because faith should not change. See, knowing where you put your faith is critical to change. And that's why Lent is so important, because through Lent, you're typically requested to do is you're requested to give up something during Lent. And the reason why you do that is because it creates within you an element of change. But there's also a need to focus on God through the change. That's why Lent's so important. Somebody said last week, it was a great statement, you know, I'm all for giving up something during Lent. I just didn't realize it would be my pastor. That was a good statement. I like that. I thought it was really good. Because you need faith when change happens. Often when we walk through changes, our faith can tremble. It can shake a little bit, become unsettled. The foundation quivers around us. And often when change happens, we can remove our faith from God and often put it somewhere else or on someone else. The question is not whether we have faith, because we all do. The question is, where have we put it? See, people are stressed out because they're trying to take care of themselves instead of trusting in God, who knows how to take care of ourselves. When we have too much to do, we're busy trying to figure out how we're going to do it, and instead of asking God to come through and help us understand how to do it. Like, for instance, if you don't have time, I mean, you know, reference to time this morning by the elders, a good loved one of the project. If you don't have time in a day, you know, three times more busy than you should be, it's more valuable if you take a moment to pray and get him to help you And if you try to get through your day yourself, even though it's busy, God will give you more time. God's given you faith. You already have it. Love the way the Message Bible puts this, the opening of this verse. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. We all have faith. Love that. Life would be so much easier with the change of everyday life if we had constant believing faith in God. Because faith in God is what will see us through the change. Faith is the constant through the change. How many of you are living a changed life? Yeah. I'm going to ask Diane Solomon to come, because she's going to share with you about the change that's happened in her life. Diane. I think, is that? Pick one, he said. So that, there we go.
What I'm going to share this morning, some of you have already heard, and I'm just going to share a little bit of what has been going on in our lives and the next chapter that we're into. I grew up on a farm, and I grew up in a church that was very mission-minded. And there was always the missionaries coming from Africa, it seemed like, and whenever they would come and share, the Lord at one time spoke to me and said, Diane, you're going to be a missionary. And it was about the time I was about 13 years of age, and I thought the Lord wouldn't call me to be a missionary in Africa, although that's what my understanding was, that all missionaries went to Africa. Because my skin was so fair. So I finished high school, and I met Peter, and we married, and we had four children. And then in the spring of 87, God called us, both Peter and I, to go with NCEM, and we joined in 1988 and went to Watson Lake, Yukon, from 89 to 97. And then we moved here to Prince Albert and worked at the headquarters, at the NCEM headquarters. In the summer of 2007, a friend suggested that I go on a missions trip. And so I waited for God's leading. And in 2008, the associate pastor here at First was taking a group to Africa for the summer. And I thought God was calling me then to go, but Peter and I had talked about it and things didn't work out, that it was my timing to go. But I remember crying when the team left, and I remember crying when they came back, because I really thought that I should have been on that trip. And then in June of 2009, we were in Alberta preparing for Peter's brother's funeral. And while we were out there, I got an email from Jeremy asking us to go to Africa. And I knew at once that the Lord was saying, now, Diane, it's time for you to go. So the Lord opened up the doors for us to go in May of 2010, and we saw God supply everything that we needed, the finances and all the supplies that we need to take with us, and the vaccinations, those cost a lot, and all the paperwork that needed to be done. And it just seemingly didn't seem like there was much stress, at least that I can remember at that time, because I knew that that was what God was wanting us to do. And I knew before we went that I wanted to stay there, and I kept telling people, not coming back, not coming back. But we went on the short missions trip with E3 Partners to Rwanda, Africa, and we were there for 10 days, and we saw the people and saw the country, and we shared God, and we saw the needs of the nationals there and their desire for God. I knew on our last day in the village that I didn't want to leave, but I had to, because that's what the plans were. After we got back from Rwanda, I knew that God wanted us to go back as full-time missionaries or workers. And every time I'd think about it, I'd cry, and my heart was tearing at even the thought of it. So Peter and I dug into finding out what missions were there in Rwanda and which ones would accept us quickly, because we're thinking that we only have, at the most, probably 10 years of health left in us. So we put in our resignations to NCM effective March 31st, and we applied to Youth with a Mission, and were accepted. And in middle of June, we'll be leaving to go to Rwanda. And there's lots of things to do between now and then.
Thank you, Diane. See how God can take your life and change it in an instant. It's amazing. But you have to have faith in order to walk that change. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. In John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One thing that happens when we try to walk in faith is that Satan comes against us with fear. And that's what was happening for Diane, right? It's a certain amount of fear. We know that fear is not from God, but we experience a lot of fear at different times in our lives about a lot of different things. Hebrews explains the faith chapter that it says faith is, always faith is, faith is. Faith is not yesterday, faith is not tomorrow. Right now, you have faith that yesterday is taken care of by God, and right now you have faith that tomorrow is taken care of by God. But if you don't live your life one day at a time in constant faith, there's no way you can enjoy your life because it's always changing. Every day something new happens. Stress, fear, doubt start attacking us. Feelings which try to rob us of our faith as we walk through change, and they try to water down our belief in God so that our faith is not strong, our faith is no longer powerful. That's what was happening for the first disciples. Are the kids out already?
3,000 more to go.
Yeah, 3,000 more to go. What was I talking about? Be ready for change. Well, okay, now you guys, change. What was I talking about? The disciples. Okay, the disciples. The first disciples, yeah. They followed Jesus. They held on his very word. But when he told them about the impending cross, which we sang about, they started to doubt and they started to fear. They started to lose faith. Every one of us in this room has the ability to believe God. Every one of us. God gives faith to us, but what we put it in is completely up to us. And so we trust in God. I like the way this passage goes on. When life changes, we need to trust God even more. The Message Bible says, living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace. It's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. The Apostle Paul, he recognizes that faith is God-given, but it also can be misdirected. We walk through changes. Our faith can become a little shaky. The question you have to ask today is, what do I have my faith in today? What do I have my faith in? See, I believe one of the reasons why people don't get what they need is because when we're walking through change, we go to people who are changing to get what we need instead of going to God to get it. If you go to God, listen, if you go to God to get what you need, then God will work out what it is you do need. You hear what I said? If you go to God to get what you need, then God will work it out the best for what you need. You need to go to God. Because God's got a higher plan than you do anyway. Peter Salmon, I want you to come and share briefly with the...
I don't have time to share as much as I'd like to share with you, but Pastor Devin threatened me with a cane. So... because I've got 7 pages of material, but Diane mentioned in 2007 that she had been told she should go on a short-term missions trip, and it was in 2007 that the Lord really laid it on our hearts that there was a change coming in our lives, but I didn't realize it was going to take 4 years to come about. But and during that during the time here in Prince Albert, the church here has supported us in many different ways, in prayer and in finances, and I want to thank you for that. And as God began to work in our lives and in our hearts and realized that God was calling us to move again, I didn't realize how big of change this was going to be. I had never been out of North America other than down to Mexico, and I think that's still North America, right? So I had never been out of North America. It seems so far south. Until this past May when we went over to Rwanda. And God did some amazing changes in my life during that time. I heard this, read this morning on the internet that it's the high is going to be 27 today and lots of rain. But that's not here. That's over in Rwanda, it's going to be that warm. But lots of rain coming right now. It's in the rainy season. It's, when we first went into ministry, the Lord gave us some verses, and I want to read a few of them to you this morning before I go on. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And then if we go over to Matthew 28 and verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So when Diane and I were over in Rwanda, that last day was a very crucial day as we were finishing up that day and the van came in to pick us up. I had a really, really hard time getting on that van and leaving the village. The desire to stay and to continue to minister and to see what God had started that week, to see it actually flourish and take off was so strong. And yet, I knew that we had to come home because we had a lot of preparation yet to do. And I didn't even realize at that time that we were going to be going back. But I had that hunch that the Lord was leading in that direction and that we would likely be going back. So when we got back and realized that God was calling us, we started to look for missions that had full-time missionaries in Rwanda, and we really didn't know exactly how to go about doing that. So I went on the internet, and the first thing that popped up on the screen basically was YOM, Youth with a Mission. And I thought, well, I don't even know anything about that mission, so I won't worry about that one. And so we looked into it a little bit, but never really got going with it. But then we prayed about it more, and we went away from looking at Youth as a Mission and looked at the Baptist Union, and that didn't seem to click. It just didn't seem to fit. Looked at the Alliance Mission, and finally gave up looking those different directions. I wasn't sure where to turn, so I went back to the computer, typed in some words for a search, and guess what popped up? Youth with a Mission. And so I thought, well, the Lord's really bringing this to my mind for a reason, and so I thought I'd better start searching to see what they did and what kind of work they had in Rwanda. And Youth with a Mission, it's an international movement of Christians from many different denominations that's dedicated to serving Jesus throughout the world. They have a passion to know God and to make Him known. Short-term missions work. They have short-term mission work in 171 countries. Their many ministries fit into three main categories: evangelism, training, and mercy ministries. It was really amazing as to how God led us towards that step by step. We said 2007 we had a hunch, and then 2008 and 2009 we grew a little bit closer towards that as we continued to search to see what God had. And then as we went over to Rwanda in 2010, and now we're at this place where we put our house up for sale, put all of our belongings up for sale, and we're leaving that all behind and heading overseas. I didn't realize how much that was going to affect me until we really started doing it. But as God has led, we have a total peace about what God wants to do through us. And we're excited about what God's going to do, a little bit fearful because we don't know any Rwandan, and we don't know what the culture's like for sure over there, but I know that God's going to show us in many ways. Some of the things that YOM does over there, well, I'll just back up a little bit. The first thing that we have to do the first 6 months is the discipleship training school. And that is learning. There's a few things. Let me just see if I can find it in the page here. They learn about God's nature and His character, God's intention for individuals, peoples, and creation, God's redemption, sin on the cross, God's family, His children and His church, and God's world, His call and His commission, doing the works of Jesus. And so we're going to take that for the first 3 months, and then the second 3 months we'll be going into a village somewhere and putting that into practice. And we're really looking forward to that. The fees to go to the school is $2,000 each for 6 months, which isn't too bad. But we have found that there's a lot of extra fees that's going to come into the whole trip of flying over there, the flights and medical insurance, all that kind of stuff is all adding up as well. And so there's all that's involved in it. Some of the ministries that Youth with a Mission is involved in is with the widows and the orphans. There's over 100, I think there's 100,000 orphans, and many widows also from the genocide as well as from AIDS. There's just a lot of heartache there, and so they work with that. They also work with the kindergartens, and they start teaching them the schooling, setting up schools and places for them to stay, and working with in the different villages. I typed out two of the names in Rwanda just to be able to say the names of the villages. Butari, I think, is one of them. Just let me find it. Too many pages. I don't know them off by heart yet. I knew it was there. I can't find it right now. But there's at least two different places away out on the southeast side of Rwanda that they have two villages where they have one missionary stationed there now, but they'd also like to have a team stationed there as well. So we don't know where the Lord's going to lead us in Rwanda, what exactly we're going to be doing, but we're looking forward to it, to see exactly where he's going to lead. And we'll really appreciate your prayers, your support, in whichever way you can as we continue on our journey. And what about you? Part of my vision is, as we go there, to see teams come out of Prince Albert and come and work alongside us, maybe in a different way, maybe with E3, as we had went and sensed God's call after that. You don't know what kind of change God has in mind for you, but if he's even given you just a little bit of a nudge that he wants you to change something that you're doing right now and start doing something else, I say walk in that direction, because if you don't, that voice is going to get quieter. If you do, it's going to get louder. So walk with God.
Amen. Thank you, Peter. We all have faith. It's up to us where we put it. When you put it in God, you never go without, but it can change your life drastically. The Solomons testified to that today, right? What was it like selling your house, putting it for sale, all your belongings? What was it like? Change. What was it like leaving there when you knew we didn't want to go? Now we can't leave, and now all the change that happened. That is how God is every day of our life. But where are you putting your faith? Is it in our friends? Because we can put our faith in our friends. We can put our faith in our spouses, our children, our bank account, our home. We can put our faith anywhere we want to. But this passage explains a most dangerous faith. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. One of the most dangerous things we can do is put our faith in ourselves. When we do put our faith in ourselves, God has to shake our little world. And usually what happens, he gives us or allows something to enter into our life that gets us so far over our heads that we finally realize, I cannot do this. Only God can. Some of the stuff we go through is God getting us to look up and trust him. Don't put your faith in yourself. Don't put your faith in your family. Don't put your faith in your friends, in your job. Put your faith in God. Because that will give you the basis, the foundation for change. Let's pray. Lent is about change in our life. Creating change so you know God better. Your faith belongs to you. So you got to ask yourself this morning where you've got it. Some of you are getting disappointed because you've got your faith in the wrong place. You're looking to a person to keep you happy. You need to get your eyes off of that person and start looking to God. Go to God. He may use people to get what he needs accomplished, but go to him. Talk to him. Let him know what change you're walking through. Speak to him about how you're feeling, where you're walking, what your journey's like, the uncertainty that you're up against. Talk to him about the change that's going on in your life. Let him in. Father, we're coming to this table, and it is, in essence, a very private thing in the upper room, a private event that you instituted just for your disciples, those who believe you. Lord, it's hard when we think of the change that goes on in our life, but when we remember the change that occurred in yours, we cannot help but be grateful that we can come to you, the one who's victorious, the one whom we can trust, the one who has the power even to raise the dead. We are grateful for change. May we not lose faith. May we stand firm in you. We pray to your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask the